Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is going on? It is your boy, Flows. I'm here with my brother, Steve. We don't have the three wise men back, but we got two out of the three wise men, and I don't know what we're going to call this. This could be 79th and How This Presents. It could be What's Next. Don't know. But I did been talking to Steve for quite a few weeks about, okay, how can we, you know, have a conversation about what are the next moves for the Bears? What's the things they should focus on? So we're just going to call this 79th and How This Presents, What's Next. And we're going to hopefully try to do these in small segments for those who are Patreon subscribers who fuck with us, who rock with us, and then it'll be released to everybody afterwards. And we're focusing on what the Bears should look toward and look forward in the next upcoming months before you get to the draft and before you get to minicamp, rookie minicamp, minicamp, training camp, the whole nine yards. And I wanted us for this episode, since he's going to be like little 10, 15, 20-minute segments where we just have conversations about these things. So something you can read on your way, something you listen to on your way to work while you got lunch. And today we're focusing on who's staying and who's going. And what I mean by that are, what are the foundational players for the Bears moving forward? And then what are those players where you're like, either way, whether you keep them or you use them as bait to find a better trade. So first up, Steve, what's going on, bro? Welcome back, bro. How you feeling?
And I'm feeling good, you know, feeling good about the offseason. You know, the Bears did way better than we expected, you know, it blew me away, honestly, this season. I'm proud of the guys. I think we're going in the right direction. And finally, we found our QB, man. So, hey, as a Bears fan, I can't be more thankful. So, ready to do this, ready to rock out, see what we got going up in the season and offseason, man. I'm ready to do it.
That's the best way to explain it, because I feel the same way. Thinking about how a year ago we're like, yeah, man, Caleb looks like the guy, but you know, we don't know. And then you get Ben Johnson, you're like, this motherfucker that dominated us for the 2 years he was offensive coordinator, turning Detroit into a team that was ass for so long. All of a sudden, one of the best offenses in the league, Jared Goff is having his best years as a quarterback underneath him. And so it's like, we get him, and you're like, man, like, for once, this is the correct coaching decision. It's the best hire around. Everybody wanted him. This has to work out. And it's working out. And that's the shocking part. I mean, Bears wear their Navy uniforms for the Packers game. And I'm like, oh, man, they always losing them. Oh, no. And all of a sudden, Bears break that curse. So there are a lot of firsts for the Bears this year. And this brings us to a situation where me and Steve are able to ask ourselves, okay, who's the foundation? Because for how many years we like, I don't know. Or we'll get to training camp, you know, and Steve will text me like, hey, man, how's Justin looking? I'm like, I mean, he hit some deep passes, but that's about it. You know, now we're like, no, what's the core? What's the future? So for our episode today, the first thing we're going to focus on are foundational players. These are the players that you obviously know cannot be traded, released under any circumstances. They're probably already locked into a contract, and these will form the foundation of the team for this era of Ben Johnson. So, Steve, I will let you go first. Who are your top two, three, five players that you think are foundational for the Bears?
All right. So, I mean, obviously, we're going to go with number one, which is 18, Caleb Williams. We've seen what he can do We know what he can do. The Iceman has showed it. I mean, it'd be plenty of times where you would be at the game in a press box, and we're talking. I'm texting you like, "Hey, if Caleb's going to show he's him, he's Superman, it's right now." And yeah. every fucking time I text that, he shows that he's him. So yeah. Definitely Caleb is the future and will be locked in hopefully for a long, 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 long time. My second guy, Donnell Wright, man. Donnell Wright is, I mean, it's a lot of good right tackles in the league, but man, he's up there, man. I think we definitely got it right. Ryan Poles definitely got it right when he drafted Donnell Wright. And he kind of looked it bad with Justin at times. We was like, damn, is Donnell like that? Is he not? And man, that dude is a mauler, bro. I mean, he held his own all season long.
All season.
Ran to that side, had the most production going to that right side. I mean, we got our Lane Johnson. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying he's exactly like Lane Johnson, but we got ours when it comes to him. My other guy, hey, you gotta give it to Colston, man. Colston is going to be a core guy. I like Colston coming out. A lot of people didn't like the pick, and I was like, hey, and I know you know a lot about Coach Love being an Ohio State fan and what he did.
whooping ass.
And so I was like, you know, you vouch for him, and I looked at his tape. And man, I say this dude is polished. Like this kid know what he's doing. Smart, strong, good at the point of attack, great at blocking, catching, and I just see unlimited future for that kid. I think next year it's gonna be a little tougher for him because he's gonna be highlighted on that game film. He's going to be highlighted. So I'm looking forward to see what Coach is gonna do. I think he's definitely a part of this core. And then go ahead.
No, y'all go ahead.
And then you got my man Luther Burton III. I mean, Luther. I mean, we knew about this kid coming out of Mizzou. He dropped late. He's supposed to be a first round pick.
Yeah,
definitely. But man, Ben Johnson. This is a Ben Johnson pick, and I loved it. And man, once Luther got that playbook down, and he was no longer getting yelled at,
right?
Getting lined up in the wrong formation, stuff like that. He made an immediate impact. I mean, Luther Burton's speed, agility, and burst jumps off the film, man. When he gets that ball in his hand, he's one of the most dangerous players in the NFL, bro. And I think he's going to really be even more dangerous next year once he has that playbook. He's matured, all the way, and he has that playbook down. I think the sky's the limit for him.
Yeah.
In my last piece on Amy 5, I know Rome didn't have that good of a season. And even myself, I was kind of hard on Rome because I'm just like, dog, like, where's this Washington nigga at? Like, if you look at Rome's college tape, they damn near look like two different players on that field. I feel like when you watch Rome at Washington, it's like he had all the confidence in the world.
And
it almost looks like he's playing to like not fuck up, you know what I mean? And one bad drop and his confidence kind of drops, you know what I'm saying? But I think Rome is still a big part of this. I still believe in him. He did have an injury. Foot injuries do affect receivers, man. It does affect your cutting skills and all that stuff, and a lot of things go into that. And so I think Rome is going to have a bounce back year. Yeah, man, I think these are our five core players. I had Joe Tooney and a couple of other guys, on the line on there as core pieces. But obviously Joe Tooney, let's be real, he got maybe 2-3 more years left with us, if that. If he chooses to retire. So I just wanted to – but those are my five, I think, are going to be the core building blocks for at least the next 4 or 5 years.
It's interesting because I have the exact same players listed. I had literally in order. It was Caleb, Loveland, Donnell Wright, Luther, and then I just had it left for alignment. Now, my reasoning is Caleb, obviously, Caleb is the foundational player. He is the franchise. Even if all of them go, regardless of, like, let's say they win a couple of championships and then they, you know, ship players off, I know Caleb is going to be there, and I, without a doubt. Next up would be Colston Loveland. And for me, I look at it as when a quarterback finds a good receiver, he can find another receiver. That may sound stupid, but I have seen so many quarterbacks go through so many tight ends throughout their years. I mean, so many wide receivers throughout their years. But it seems like tight ends tend to stay around longer. I mean, even when Tom Brady found Gronk, Gronk came with him to the next team after he unretired. And, of course, we have, Travis Kelce was there before Pat has stuck with him this entire time. There was never any talk. Because not only do you have a player who can block, but they can catch. They have leverage, and they're hard to find. And someone like Colston Loveland, with that unique blend of speed, athleticism, and agility, I expect him and Caleb to be the longest tenured Bears on this team. Next would be Darnell Wright. And again, good offensive linemen are – it's not rare, but it's uncommon for them to leave or leave frequently. Someone like Joe Tooney is 33 years old, freshly 33, but he probably has 2-3 years left in him. And I can't see him being the foundational peach unless somehow he found the same doctor that Tom Brady went to and stayed here till he was 45. So Tooney wouldn't be my immediate pick. But it would be so far be Caleb, Colston, and then Darnell Wright. After that, I'm really, really sold on Luther Burden. Because not only do I see a player who, it's not that, you know, he won't be so upset that he's not getting the ball, but man, he's willing to put himself in harm's way to make sure the team scores. There was a third down. I don't know if that was against the Packers. I think it was. It was against the Packers. And Caleb goes through his read, sees nobody open, takes it to his check down. Kyle Manunga guy. Luther Burden knows if I put myself between him and these two players that are trying to get him, that's a first. He puts there, immediately gets blew to hell by the Packers linebacker. But it sprung Kyle Manunga forward. I love a player that loves to block, that loves to get physical, and I love a player that when they catch the ball, that's not the end of it. It's time to keep moving. And so Luther Burden will be my next one. Finally, on the final list, this is going to be an unpopular pick. And I know people will disagree. And it's not necessarily because they're like just the greatest player at their position, but I think they form a complementary piece for possibly a better player or a player equal skill. It's going to be Montez Sweat. Now, again, unpopular pick. It's not that I think he's the best in the league, but he's good. He's a solid player. But I think having him here is an attractive position or attractive piece for someone else. And I do think with the money they're paying him, he's going to be here for quite some time. And I think he forms a foundational piece because outside of that, on the line, on the rest of the team, there are so many players that can move, give and take. And so it's not really as clear as it normally is. So we have pretty much the similar foundational players. But this is what I want to get into. Our second segment, our final segment, which will be the largest segment, is the players who can go. The players who can be trade bait, and if you don't know, every time we're on the pod, if we mention Jervon Dexter, we're like Steve's biggest op. And it's not that it's a personal vendetta, but Steve has been harping about there needs to be an interior presence for so long. So once again, like the last segment, we're going to say your top five players who you're not upset if they leave or they need to leave or they're a perfect piece to be traded away. So we know Javon's on there. So save Javon for last. Give me the 4-3-2, however, ahead of them. Then we'll end with Javon, then I'll get my list.
Okay. I'll say my first guy is, so when I think about players that can go, I usually look at, when I look at an NFL player, especially when they're on my team, I say, is this guy easily replaceable? Mm. That's the first thing, right? Would the team miss a beat if the second man goes in or this guy goes out? And that's kind of how I kind of do it. My first guy is maybe an unpopular opinion, but I'm going to say Tremaine Edmonds. The reason why is I just think, and everybody's, oh, he started off the season with 4 or 5 picks or whatever like that. But the thing is this, Tremaine Edmonds just does not pop off the tape, man. Like, yeah. He's not, nobody is scared of Tremaine Edmonds. Nobody is scared to run at him. Honestly, he's always been like a lanky linebacker to me. You know, he's kind of like Levante David, but without the that jump off the tape spark, you know?
Right.
And, you know, he obviously understand why, you know, Dennis Allen has his defense long wingspan. You know, it's hard to, you know, get balls over him. But it's been times where I'm just like, damn, Tremaine, go fucking lay some fucking wood, bro.
Right.
Like, I just, like, he never really hits anybody. You know what I mean? Like, he don't bring that you need when you think about a linebacker, especially when you think about Chicago Bear linebackers. Like, all of our linebackers have always been like, we gonna lay your ass the fuck out. You know what I mean? Whether it was, you know, Lance Briggs, Urlacher, even John Bostic when his ass was here, he was fucking kind of low-key trash, but he was laying wood. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you need that guy, and he just never gave me leadership vibes. You know what I mean? Like, hey, we right now, you know what I mean? We getting to stop. I'm going up the A gap smacking a motherfucker. Like, he never gave me that. And I feel like his talent and his what he does on the field is replaceable.
Right.
My next guy, God, man, Chicago might turn on me, bro. You know, not that he's bad. Now, like I said at the beginning, I look at players and say, is the stats, is the talent replaceable, right? And it's not that this guy is a bad player, but Jaquan Brisker can go.
I think more people would agree with you than you think. Scott probably included.
Yeah, because Jaquan Brisker isn't a bad, strong safety. He's an above average safety. Yeah. He's just not, I'm not going to pay you $15 million, $20 million a year safety.
Like, right, no.
Jaquan Brisker is, I feel like his talent is replaceable. I feel like you can, you know, even get, you know, even a more talented player. Because there's been times where Javon is just like getting destroyed in coverage, bro. Like, he doesn't have the catch-up speed. And I know strong safeties aren't supposed to be fast, but sometimes the angles that this man takes, I'm just like, Jesus Christ. And then another thing, if we go back to that Rams game, everybody's like, oh, but he got off in the Rams game. I'm going to tell you why I feel like that whole game was just a fluke. Because if you've ever played football, me and Joe played football, right? I only went up to high school football. I went to college, none of that shit like that, right? So I'm like that, right? But we played in Chicago, right? There's snow, there's rain. Right. And we all know that the offensive footing is not the same. You know what I mean? We both play offense. When it's snowing and it's slippery, the offense just takes a step back. Right. If that was on dry land, Jaquan Brisker would have got cooked by Davante Adams and Puka Nacua. It would have been a bad day. You know what I mean? So him getting off in that game, I don't think that happens in another stadium, to be honest with you. Because if it did, he would have done it in other stadiums. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The defense just has a major advantage when the weather is going that way. If you saw that Pages in the Denver game, which was fucking horrible, nobody had an advantage. Right. I don't know if everybody saw the play, but Drake May went to the running back. He slipped. And then Drake May slipped right after the nigga. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then the defensive player is like, you know, it's like even when the Rams, they D-line was getting off on us and all that shit. It's because it was the weather, man. Like, football's part of weather and that happens. But, you know, if you ain't doing it the other dry games, like, I can't really put you out there. You know what I'm saying? I feel like we can draft another safety in a draft and get just as equally talent or better. You know, and we need somebody that can kind of ball hawk a little bit better and can just, you know, cover tight ends a little bit better. That's always been our Achilles heel. Like, when that tight end come in, that's pretty good. That's cook time. My next one would be, unfortunately, and I like this player, and I think, you know, it was an unfortunate injury, but TJ Edwards at this point, I feel like we can find more speed the same, you know, probably not as smart. Obviously, it takes a while for a linebacker to get acquainted to the game, you know, on the mental level.
Yeah.
But I do think there are linebackers out there that can give you equally or more talent in that position.
I see that.
Who's another guy? Another guy that I'm willing to kind of move off from if the trade was right. And you know what? I can't even do that to my dog. You know, I'm gonna keep him.
Was it DJ? Was it DJ?
Yeah, okay, it was DJ. But here's the thing. In order for me to trade DJ, I'm gonna need it got to be one of those blockbuster trades. Yeah. I got to get something back from a Max Crosby, something along those lines. And don't get me wrong, I love DJ, and I actually want DJ to be here. But I feel like sometimes, and when you watch like a lot of national media, they don't really watch as much Bears games as we do, and they don't really look at every play. Like we're looking at all 22, and sometimes, man, when DJ feel like he out of that game plan, bro,
he'll take a playoff.
Yeah, he take a couple plays off. You know what I'm saying? And I don't like that. Him and Caleb, it's like there'll be times where it's like, oh, if it's just a regular streak route or a post, oh, we're communicating. But if it's some going across the middle, or it's the play broke down, or it's like it's always a communication thing, and I'm just kind of over that at this point. I feel like your number one receiver, you and him should be like this in the mind, and maybe that happens on this offseason. You know what I mean? Where him and DJ really working with each other. Hey, bro, this is what I want you to do, and next thing you know, DJ is a 1,200-yard receiver again. You know what I mean? Because he got all the talent. You know, and then sometimes I feel like DJ can be, you know, they can shut DJ down sometime, you know, and I've seen it in games where it's just like, where's DJ Moore, you know? Right. And I feel like, you know, the number one, number ones of the NFL, they going to get theirs. You know what I mean?
I mean, shoot, look at like Davante Adams in that, in the freaking Plaza, the NFC Championship game. Davante Adams been in the league for a while. He's an older player. But when it's time to get him, bro, it's time, you know. Mm-hmm. And you can scheme all you want, he's still going to get his.
Exactly. And that's why I feel like doesn't happen with DJ sometimes. But like I said, you know, this is the first year in the playbook, first year on this Ben Johnson train, and I'm willing to give it another go-around because I know how talented DJ is. I know he puts himself on the line. DJ plays hurt a lot. He gets hit bad. And he always gets back up, bro. Like, he'll take one playoff, and he's right back in. I'll never question DJ Moore's heart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, sometimes it's that effort when he ain't getting that rock sometime. Or when we – it's like you're not getting the rock for, like, maybe 2.5 quarters. And the third quarter when we need you is like, oh, miscommunication. Like, bro, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that kind of hinders me sometimes. But I want to keep DJ unless it's for a massive defensive player and something like that in trade.
Right.
And my last but not least.
What we all came here for.
Brother, Javon Dexter Sr. Let me take this back. Because this is a damn villain origin story right here that I got to tell. When Javon was drafted, I immediately text my man, my brother here. I said, why did we just draft this dude? What? I don't know. Obviously, Matt Eberflus was the coach.
Yeah.
And obviously, he shouldn't have a say in football whatsoever, which is the reason why he's out of the league right now. But there is nothing on tape that anybody saw that was worthy of a second round. This, y'all don't understand. A second round pick. Joe, what is a second round pick supposed to be in your eyes, real quick?
A plus starter. Like, you may not be the superstar, but most of the time, somebody in the second round is somebody who could have easily been in the first round. They could have maybe had an injury, but they're supposed to be impact. Like, you're literally expected to start.
Right. And if you play football, it's one thing you can't teach, right? You can't teach speed, right? You either got it or you don't. You cannot teach a fucking get off. You either got it or you don't. And I remember, and here's the thing. Let me tell the folks out here, this is why Javon Dexter slid through the cracks, right? What happened was, when Javon Dexter got drafted, Justin Fields was there. Justin Fields was doing all that running around, Superman shit, right? And Javon kind of went under the radar. It's like, oh, well, he did, you know, sack it here or there, you know, but not, it's just, his get off was just bad. You know, no pass rush moves, stand straight up. And I mean, this is like his first year, second year. I'm texting you. I'm like, bro, are you looking at this dude? Oh, what you mean, man? I'm like, no, look at him. Yeah. Look, and then, you know, and you even started observing maybe year two, like really looking at him like, yo, like this dude's not, he's not it. I mean, zero pass rush moves, stand straight up, think strength is going to get him everywhere. Yeah. And then, because this is why he slid through the
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A second round pick, like Luther Burden, right? Second round pick. If Luther Burden was not performing, we would be on his ass, right?
Yeah.
Valus Jones, what pick was Valus Jones?
Ooh, way too high. That's all I remember.
Right? I believe he was a second round pick, if I'm correct. Yeah. Right? And we held that motherfucker under a microscope. Did we not? Why? Yeah. Because he was a second round pick. Javon Dexter's performance slipped through the cracks and nobody
third round,
noticed.
71st round, 71st overall pick.
He was third round?
Yeah.
Okay,
early third round though.
Even worse, we had a microscope on a third round pick, guys. Think about that. We ran that man out of town, which rightfully so. Right. Yeah. The reason why Javon Dexter slid through the cracks, the Justin Fields saga, the Caleb Williams saga, right? Yeah. We were so caught up in the Justin Fields thing, like, oh, is he gonna stay? Are we gonna get the haul? Should we get the haul? Or should we draft Caleb, right? And here goes Javon having mid-ass shit. Then second season comes. Okay, all right, we're going to ship Justin off. Oh, okay, cool. We're getting Caleb. Caleb's here now, right? Rookie year, all eyes on Caleb, right? Second year, all eyes on Caleb. The whole time, we had a second-round pick who was fucking garbage the entire time. He is one of the worst defensive. Like, bro, if you go look at the All-22 of Chicago Bears, you will see – if it's for a D lineman, they're all getting penetration. This man is like this. The whole time. Joe, am I lying, bro? Look, no, this man. Let's just talk about Javon's stats this season. He was credited with 6 sacks, but actually 4, but they gave him 6 because when 2-3 people get there and he was there and they kind of gave it to him, right? But he had 4 tackles for loss, subpar for a fucking second round pick, 14 QB pressures, 7 run stuffs. And right here, and then this is when we get to the major category.
I got to point out this hilarious pick. Somebody said you can time Javon Dexter's get off with a sundial. Every single lineman on the line. I think that's, I don't know if that's Hardy. No, that's Montez Sweat, what you see in the front. Then you see Javon. Then you see Grady. And I think that's like Austin Booker near the end. Everyone else is off.
Bruh, despicable. And look. And let me inform the nation, the 79th and Hollis nation about the sack category. There's 3 types of sack categories if you guys didn't know. There's the win sack rate, the scheme sack, and the cleanup sack. Let me describe to you what those are. A win sack is when you beat a guard or a center straight up. Okay? A scheme sack is when you do a stunt or a twist, you get completely open, right? And you get the sack. And then you have cleanup sack is when you get run stuff, you get the Javon Dexter, but you get stood up, and then the QB steps up and runs into you, okay?
Right.
I went and watched all of the games of Javon Dexter sacks. This man had two cleanup sacks, which is when the quarterback basically runs and fucking to you because of pressure from other people. One scheme sack, which is that fucking twist where it was like, oh, Javon Dexter with the stack. And I said, Joe, go look at it again. It was a stunt. They got him over. Right. Because he can't get shit himself. And then he had one win sack. One, where he straight up beat a guard.
Yeah.
This man played damn near the whole season.
Yeah.
And you wonder why we were trying to trade for Justin Simmons. We drafted his replacement. Dennis Allen drafted Shamed Turner. That was the bail.
Yeah.
If Javon Dexter was going to – and then, you know what kills me about him? What did he say at his press conference in the offseason? No, as a matter of fact, let's take about one season real quick. I would text Joe. You go to all the training camps, right, over there in where they have him at? And where the Bears training camp at again?
In freaking it's which hall? Lake Forest.
So yeah, Lake Forest, right? Yeah, Lake Forest, Hollis Hall, right? And I say – man, how's Javon Dexter doing? Oh, he's whooping Colton Shelton's ass every practice. Oh, okay. All right. Oh, he is? Okay, fast forward this season. This man had a whole press conference and said, oh, how do you feel about going from two technique to three technique? And this man said, I feel like the chains have finally let off. Nigga, you must be still on the plantation because them chains never came off at all. And then during the Rams game, you was beating Colvin Shelton's ass all the fucking training camp last year, beating the brakes off him, right?
Yeah.
What happened in that Rams game?
Not
that. You patted your fucking tongue, nigga. That's what happened. You didn't do a goddamn thing. You fucking disappointment, okay? And here's the thing. I'm not slandering Javon Dexter as a man at all. As a black man, I'm glazing NFL. He's a millionaire. You know what I mean? He got there. Less than 1% get there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you, when you look at talented defensive tackles interior, the man is not good. He's not. I don't. And then when you go back and you look at his draft status, nobody was going to draft him. The fuck was had Javon Dexter on their board? I don't remember. No second round. Bro, what second round? Did you even hear any teams talking about him? Draft him in the second round. The second fucking round, Joe. Yeah. Not the sixth. Not the, oh, maybe he can lose some weight and be a run stuffer because he's a big guy. Calais Campbell type build. We can get him there. This man was a second round pick, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Terrible subpar, man, and so that's my guys, especially Javon Dexter. He has no trade value. He'll be on the bench. He'll be a rotational player, but he won't get paid outside of this season. He'll be a journeyman trying to make teams after this season, after this contract is up. There's no way Ryan Poles resigns him. Dennis Allen doesn't really want him. He drafted his replacement. His replacement unfortunately got hurt, but I'm telling you right now, Javon Dexter will not. I guarantee. He would not be starting for Chicago Bears next year.
That was the rant I was waiting for. Mine is a lot more tame. It's a little different list. Javon's on that, absolutely. So just start off with Javon Dexter.
Yeah.
He has the measurables, meaning the height, the weight, to say, damn, this nigga could be great. Again, like a Calais Campbell. But what does Calais Campbell have that has kept in the league for like 40 years? Technique. Like, he's strong, but now he's, I think, 40 years old. And so Calais Campbell has to lean on the fact that I know where a player is going to be, where offensive lineman is going to pull, where he's going to put all of his might in. He's 39 years old, almost 40. Put all his might in. I know how to get around that. And that's why he's had a legendary career. Javon has the strength and the measurables, but he does not have the technique. And too often his technique is, even when he might, like you said, he had one win sack this year. One sack is like, oh, okay, that's good. And then the rest is just either he's too slow off or he does that terrible habit of standing straight up.
And he's washed.
An interior lineman for me is the most most important lineman on the defensive line, because if you have a great interior rusher, you can make someone who is solid look way better. Now, it reminds me of like Leonard Floyd, one of the players playing with the Rams. Leonard Floyd is a solid player, drafted too high for his position, and it's a production, but a solid player. When he starts playing with Aaron Donald, all of a sudden, you're like, Leonard Floyd got how many sacks? Because it's a lot easier when, man, this tackle is on an island with me, and there's no one in to help him chip, and I have to work him, and they have to be thought about, okay, what do? We chip and we get some help with our center? And so because of that, I think the defensive interior is important, whether it's a nose, a three, whoever is going to be on it, it needs to be important. So Javon does not possess that. The funny thing is, not even the funny thing, interesting thing is, if you look at his basic stats over the year, two and a half sacks his first year, five sacks his next year, six sacks the year now, and he's had more consistent tackles for loss on paper. And also he's played he hasn't missed many games for injury. And so you see that, you're like, man, he should be a part of this team long term. But on that tape, man, I'm not seeing it. And then when you look on Twitter, you see Bears fans reacting. They're feeling that same angst of what's happening. Because someone like Montez Sweat is a solid player. He's not a great player, but he's solid. But you get someone who's good at the interior, it makes it easier for Montez Sweat to get off. And so Javon will be my first player till I say either it's bait in the trade or either it's just move on, whether it's contract-wise release, which I doubt that happens, or just see somebody get after him. Because obviously Shamar Turner from Texas A&M, 6'3", very good college career. He was injured quite a long time ago. And so he's been on IR, so that's not going to happen. But going into next season, Shamar Turner will probably get an opportunity. They'll probably draft someone else. So things get crazy there. Next up, I have Jaquan Brisker. I like Jaquan. I think his energy is great. I think he represents Chicago well as a player. I never had anything bad to say about him when I talked to him, interviewed him, which hasn't been often, but when I have, really solid. I think he's very good in coming off the edge. I mean, playing a line like a strong safety does, Jaquan Brisker is very, very good at that.
Yeah, yeah.
Has though, no. And if you know what strong safety is, your free safety, you're not going to put the free safety up as much as you're going to put the strong safety up. That strong safety, you really go, all right, I need you to be able to get on the line pretty constantly. You know, or like when we played in high school ball, we had a stud. His name was a stud, which you're a DB linebacker hybrid. Jaquan is very strong. He can make those sacks. He can get and run edge support. But passing is just not great. He gets burned too many times. His recovery speed just isn't there. Now, do I think that makes him a player who needs to be traded immediately, get rid of? No. If they brought him back for a fine deal, I'd be fine. I think that would be okay. But what is he going to ask for? And because of that, he's a prime candidate for trade him, get rid of him, but, you know, see what happens. Next up, I agree with Steve in the outside linebacker, TJ Edwards. TJ Edwards, a Chicagoland native who I've personally interviewed, had an interview with him last summer. And we just talking about Chicago and, you know, summertime shot. Really, really good guy.
Yeah.
The injury he has to come back from is a lot. And because of that, and because of the fact that the outside linebacker is not as important as it used to be in NFL, I'm fine with exploring options. It's not a player you should move on immediately. Just go. But, you know, explore options, see where it goes. Next up, Jairo Santos.
You breaking my fucking heart, Joe. Go ahead,
he's
man.
He's accurate under the 50, but he ain't got no leg. And in today's NFL, you just cannot have a kicker that can't consistently get you 55. Like that, like there are kickers who are kicking near 70 now. You know what I mean? Was it the Cowboys kicker or was it the Niners kicker? It was the Niners kicker.
The Cowboys kicker, that motherfucker leg. 70, that's right. Shit.
The Niners kicker, they're like, oh, he basically has to get to the 45. I said, get to the what? And that's because of how good his leg is. Like, the 45 is like, what would that make that? That wouldn't be 65. That would be 62. 62-yard field goal. That against 45 is good. If you get to the 40 for Jairo Santos, which is a near 57-yard field goal, that ain't happening. So it's because of that I'm like, I explore your options. I'm not saying pull Ryan Pose did with Torrey Taylor and draft a kicker. No, no, no. But explore your options, see what you can get. I'm not hell-bent on keeping him. He is a pick where I'm like, see where it goes. And finally, which it sucks because stat-wise, he has some good plays. But Nashawn Wright. I yeah. am for getting rid of him in a trade scenario where someone wants to spend a little bit more, a little bit more money, but wants to take him on and thinks he's going to be better than what he has this year. Nashawn Wright is infamous for having what was coined on Twitter as the government mandated interception, which was Nashawn Wright is going to get burned hard as hell, but then randomly he's going to get the ridiculous pick that you ain't seen before. And it's like, oh, Nashawn Wright's burned for 98 yards. Then he throws the end zone to Nashawn Wright in one hand. And we call that the government mandates that he gets an interception on turnover now. He had a very good season and on paper, but too inconsistent pass coverage. Here's the thing is, like, his measurables, again, would be the stuff of a great corner. He's tall, long-armed, and if he was just great technique-wise, I mean, he'd be amongst the best in the league, but he don't got that. And teaching someone technique in the NFL is a very difficult thing to achieve. And he would be my next up to – those would be my top five to get rid of. DJ Moore was considered. DJ Moore was considered. But, man, I can't do it. DJ Moore for me is like a lifelong Bear. I want him to retire as a Bear. His first year on a winning team in ever. I don't know if he said he hadn't won anything since high school or he has not won anything, like been to the playoffs, been on a winning team ever. His life in football has been a struggle. And part of it, maybe it's because of that he developed bad habits. And maybe now being on a winning team will help him to get rid of that. Forget that. So because of that, I have to stick with DJ Moore. I guess I would call him an honorable mention. But that's about it. Another person I considered was DeAndre Swift. But I'm like, you got him on a – DeAndre Swift, the reason I would – like, I like Mnangagwa. Mnangagwa can't catch. DeAndre Swift can catch. And DeAndre Swift in open grass is nasty. And I'm like, I'm fine with him. In the spirit of what, you know, Ben Johnson had when he was with Detroit, two-headed monster. Now, of course, Detroit seems like they're phasing Monty out. It's just going to stick with Jahmyr Gibbs. Oh, yeah. But I'm unless, you know, Kyle Mnangagwa comes out next year and he's just like, I can do it all now, I will stick with the two-headed monster for now. So before we wrap up, Steve, I want to get your thoughts, your brief thoughts on what will it take for the Bears to repeat this success next year? Give me your two reasons for the Bears to repeat the success next year.
I think if we're going to repeat the success, I think the most, it's two people that in our offense, because I feel like I'm not even going to go with the defense because I feel that until we revamp that fucking defensive line and Javon Dexter is no longer there, that shit is up in the air. I don't know how our defense is. I mainly focus on the offense because that seems more like a foundation already than the defense in a sense. You know, like we know what we got on offense, not defense yet. And so one of my two things is this. I wrote something down and I feel like these two are so important. I remember a couple years ago, even on the Morning Breeze, man. Shout out to them boys over there. And I listen to their podcast a lot, man. And I remember my man's was just like, what's my man's name?
I don't know the names, but I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, my man with the glasses. I'm crazy. I almost forgot his name. He would give DeAndre Swift so much shit. And I was just like, bro. And I'm gonna text you, like, bro, DeAndre Swift is good.
Yeah.
And I think Eric Bieniemy changed, dog. DeAndre Swift was running through boys this year. I don't know if people understood the difference in tape from last year to this year. You know what I mean? DeAndre Swift jumps off the tape. When he's in the open field, you're not catching that boy. That's another. He has breakaway speed.
He really did start running through players.
Yes. He was hitting holes, jumping over. You was like that. I forgot what game we had, but they thought he was down and he was in the middle and still kept going. Like he became that Georgia DeAndre Swift.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually better than when he was in Detroit. I think Eric Bieniemy changed his whole mindset on what it really means to run hard. Keep going, hit those holes down the middle because once he started doing it, that changed the Bears' offense. And by the way, I don't know if you guys know. Guess how many drop passes DeAndre Swift had this season, Joe? Do you know?
I don't know. Man.
Zero.
That's big. That's
zero.
Big.
He was a blanket for Caleb a lot of times this season.
Yeah.
Even at times I was like, why is Calvin Nunn guy in the game when we in a passing shit and we need Swift yeah. out there? And, you know, Kyle, shout out to him. He was yeah. dropping, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
He'll drop a pass.
He dropped. Yeah, he dropped yeah. a pass or two. So I think DeAndre Swift running as hard as he did this year, and he only had two fumbles, ranked on the 13th best running back in the NFL by NFL.com. You know what I'm yeah. saying? Behind Josh Jacobs, which I guess. Fuck the Packers. Anyway, so I think DeAndre Swift, keeping him
yeah.
involved in his playbook and with Caleb, because Caleb trusts DeAndre. Since his first yeah. season, DeAndre, you know, bailed out a lot of shit. That Washington game, DeAndre did that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
it was a lot of games that, like, people didn't really look at him and that he was really one of those main dudes, you know, in that game. Right. And what he did against the Eagles, him and Kyle, come on, man. Like, to that, you know, so I think that was real. That's one of the key things is our run game being there.
Okay.
And my other key thing is Rome developing into Rome. Now, when I was looking at Rome, he's almost like that try hard guy, like even with the combine shit, when he's like, let me do it over again. And like, all right, my nigga, like, you know what I mean? With the whole little shuttle drill. But it's like, when you want a receiver, you need a dog. That yeah. Pitbull Rockwilder type. He's more of that golden retriever right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Everybody likes you. You're loyal, obedient, plays nice, right? But you still got to keep your Glock on a nightstand because you know you can't trust that he's going to bite the fucking intruder when they come in the house, right?
Yeah.
If Rome turns that switch, oh, it's going to be nasty. And he's going to elevate this offense. I already know Caleb is going to improve. I know yeah. Colston's going to be that dude. Luther Burden's going to improve. But we need our ninth overall pick.
Yeah.
This guy to really take off. And that's going to elevate the offense. It's going to be like, who do you guard?
Right.
Because
yeah.
this offense, I don't know who. You're going to have to highlight. You're going to have to be like, we got to keep a key on Luther. We got to keep right. the key on DJ, right? They right. already keep the key on DJ. They already, right. you know, two-man him, box him out a lot of times, right? We got to keep, now we got Colston Loveland that we got to keep an eye on. And right. you add Rome, stop it. Try,
yeah.
you know what I mean? This is going to yeah. be some the best show on turf, but at Soldier Field type shit. You know, and Caleb's legs.
I think, yeah. you know, one, I agree. I think the best thing, like, for one, I agree with the DeAndre Swift sentiment. Eric Bieniemy did light a fire under his ass because last year we were complaining, like, are you freaking doing this again? You're not freaking breaking into tackles. You're going around instead of going through. It's like, I think it really started when we started to see Kyle Manunga take off. And then Kyle Manunga had a ridiculous game where DeAndre couldn't play. I was like, ah, what was that? And then DeAndre came in and was hitting folks to the point that I'm like, I don't think we need to put Manunga in right now. You know why? No. And then the issue is when Manunga comes in, you know it's a difficulty for the offense because you know he's not going to catch as well. When Swift comes in, you got to worry about all of that,
mm-hmm.
like you would with any balance back. And so I agree with that. My two things, which I briefly mentioned on an episode with Scott, was Ben Johnson getting consistent in his playlist, finding out what he likes, sticking with that, and not being afraid to stick with something he likes. After that, I think the biggest thing will be Caleb's footwork. Caleb get his yeah. footwork down, Pat. I think the sky's the limit. And I truly, truly think the Bears have better days ahead. And the thing is, they had great days. But I truly think, if let's say the defense, even this year, if the defense was a good defense, you know, they're bottom of the league. But imagine if they were a good defense. Do you think they would have lost that game against the Rams? No.
No.
Now, against the Seahawks, that's difficult. Seahawks, yeah, yeah. and then freaking Sam Darnold is somehow an MVP out of the blue. Teeing off on the Rams. But anyway.
Jan Sam would have gave Brisker that work. That nigga was like, we should have been playing, nigga. No. Like,
bro.
But yeah.
Anyway, we appreciate everybody for listening on Patreon. It'll be up to everybody later. We're going to try to do these bi-weekly. Me and Steve are busy. I'm not the family man yet. I will be the family man, but not yet. And we got stuff to do. So maybe within the next 2 weeks, we will bring something out and we'll talk again. hopefully next time me and Steve can start talking about prospects. Who are we looking at in the college scene, in the free agent scene, where we think these players will really, really take off? So for me, for Steve, we will catch you all later. Hopefully we will.